Well, our story's here in the barns we build, or the light fade out through the windowsill.
Song at the top of this show here is Remind Me, and it's from Natalie Nicole's, from Natalie Nicole, and it was used in the movie Green and Gold, that particular song, a movie I liked a whole lot. Larry Mueller here for WPR News, and we'll be talking about the film. It was made by two brothers from Iron River, Michigan. Again, it's titled Green and Gold. It's set in Wisconsin. The filmmakers are Anders and Davin Lindwall, and they're with us by phone today. They run a production company called Child Studios, and Green and Gold is their first feature film. The movie tells the story of a Wisconsin dairy farmer who risks the future of his farm on the Packers winning the Super Bowl, and the story's told from the point of view of the farmer's 21-year-old granddaughter, who's a talented musician, has to decide whether to kind of pursue her dream of a career in music or help her grandparents save the farm. And as we talk to the filmmakers, I hope you'll join in. Why did these brothers want to make a movie about the Packers and dairy farming, so to speak? How is farming or the Packers maybe brought your family closer together? Call in with your questions or comments. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. Anders, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, Davin, thank you so much for joining in as well.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having us.
Well, I really enjoyed this movie, and it's already won a couple of awards, and at least two that I know about. And I was struck that you say the film is based on part of an actual event. Is that true?
Yeah, so we say it's inspired by true events, and so that, you know, a lot of times when we said that, people are like, what farmer bet on the Packers, that, you know, and so that part of the story is not true, but the rest of it is, you know, it looks at a lot of the loss of small farms in America. It looks at the spirit of community benevolence that David and I grew up with in our community in Iron River, which is kind of right on the Wisconsin border there, and then it's actually based on a true Packers season as well. The film follows an actual season, so.
Yeah, which I think is pretty cool. Why did you want to make it? I think a good part of it was, you know, your interest in farms and small farms, not only in Wisconsin and Michigan, but elsewhere.
Yeah, you know, like our grandfather was a dairy farmer, and so I think for us, you know, not just farmers, but all of, you know, a lot of rural community in this upper Midwest area was really special. And we also felt like pretty unrepresented in cinema. And, you know, a lot of times, anytime you see farming in movies, it, you know, kind of has a Disney element to it. And, you know, we have some of that here and there, but we also wanted it to be, have as much authenticity as possible as well. And really, I think, give people a glimpse into, you know, both the beauty of farming and the hardship of it. And similar to, like, the rural community life that exists up here, the kind of, yeah, the reality of an amazing group of people that exist and take care of each other. And, you know, it felt like the world could use a big dose of those few things at this time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I have to say, I really enjoyed the writing. I grew up on a farm. And I know how people talk, and I know their sense of humor, and I also know a lot of the things that happen on farms that aren't all the greatest. But the script, I really liked. I thought it caught. It caught the essence of how a Wisconsin farmer and community might talk and react to things. And you have your script is credited to four writers. And I saw a piece, I think it was just yesterday, and a nice piece actually on the show, but it was partly an interview with Michael Graff of Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, who was one of the screenwriters. Can you tell us about that whole screenwriting and the process of it?
Yeah. So this is our first movie, so we've never done this before. So a little bit of this has been hobbling around in the dark. And on the script, the first writer who joined me is Stephen Schaefer. He's a friend of mine, a voracious reader, who I had the scenes and the story, and I was like, I need help. Can you help me just get this down? So he helped me get the first draft, and then, we googled around because it was like it'd be awesome to have some Wisconsin writer, somebody who understood the culture and really small nuances of the world up here, participate. And that's, we googled around and found Michael, and he came into it, and he brought a lot of real fun life and an analogy, for instance, the farmer named his cows after the Packers 68 championship team, and that was Michael Graff. He added a lot of real amazing kind of spirit of Wisconsin elements to the script. And then final writer was Misty, and she came on at the very end and just really helped us kind of polish her. She's such a classic story structure writer, and she came into it and really gave it a lot of, I think, kind of the polish that it needed at the end. So
it was a really good script. Talking today with a couple of people who have written and produced and directed a really nice movie. It's titled Green and Gold. Anders and Davin Landwell are guests today, and we've got a little echo going here, so we're going to take a early break and let's figure out the echo sound we've got on the phones. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to WPR News, and I hope you'll join in with your own thoughts and questions. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. Great to have you with us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Anders and Davin Landwell, director and Anders, I think, was director and co-writer of Green and Gold. Davin is one of the producers of Green and Gold, probably had a little hand in some of the writing as well, and maybe the directing too. Did you guys work together, Davin?
I am still here. Yeah. Can you guys pick me up all right?
Yeah, we gotcha.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool. Yeah. I was just jumping in to say, just due to the nature of independent filmmaking, you certainly have roles, but those roles quickly get dissipated into all the roles. So, we had our hands in every single part of this process. And we've had a lot of collaborators along the way, too, that have certainly pitched in a ton and helped. But this has been Anders and mine baby for 5 years now. So
yeah, I tell you, here you are, you're first time filmmakers, and you have the cast that you have is just outstanding. Craig Nelson as Buck. And I've spent a lot of time with my daughter, loved the TV show Young Sheldon. So he played a prominent role in that TV show, but he also did some very prominent role in some movies. And the rest of the cast just seems spot on. How hard was it to cast this movie and get those folks to join in?
Yeah, we landed Craig. So Craig was our first go-to. So, it's kind of funny because we had him in mind from the get-go. But, this being our first film and first time director producer of a full length feature, our casting director is kind of chuckled when we pitched his name because the likelihood was pretty small. But Craig really loved the script right away and called us the next day. And he kind of interviewed us. He wanted to check our temperature on the project and what we were trying to do kind of our hearts and vision for it. And it was an immediate yes from there, which was really amazing. So, and once you land somebody like Craig, it really opens a lot of doors for other casting, right? Because, you know, when you go out for these other roles, you know, our casting directors can lead with, yeah, Craig T. Nelson's, you know, playing the lead role of Buck. And you just, yeah, it becomes a lot more interesting for other sorts of actors too. Yeah, but we're so proud of all of our selects, you know, and yeah, we've heard that from a lot of different critics and reviewers that have checked it out. They said that, you know, Madison Lawler, Brandon Skinner, you know, all these other supporting roles totally hold their own with Craig, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I really like Madison in that role. And Annabelle, Armour, who played Margaret, I thought the pairing of Annabelle and Craig as husband and wife was pretty much spot on perfect. I think. Anders, we got you with us. What do you think?
Yeah, just it was just amazing. I think Annabelle, you know, it's also like she's been acting her whole life, and to get a chance like this later in your career to be able to get in a role with Craig, I think was really special for her. And she's just enjoyed the whole process so much. I've been so proud of her. And she was pretty honestly, she was the only one when we, you know, we cast a pretty wide net, and she was the only one who felt like she understood that real, again, kind of Wisconsin Midwest nuance, and could just, you know, hang with Craig and on the level that we really wanted of intimacy, and where she has kind of this deep inner spiritual strength as well. So
the scene in the, on the second floor, of the house, where Buck is sitting by the window watching Margaret or Annabelle do some, I don't know, she was doing some winterizing, I think, or something, and then he gets her over to the window, and they sit, she's outside, but looking into the window, and the two of them talking. I thought, what a wonderful scene.
One of our favorite scenes. Yeah, it's such a beautiful scene. And some of that was improv, you know, that they did and just played off each other. You know, there's a little moment where a cat jumps up, like one of the actual barn cats that was around the farm just came into the room and hopped up into the scene. And, you know, that's the magic that you just can't really write, you know, that you just have to kind of receive the grace of it when you're on set.
Oh, it was lovely. I have to tell you, I think, and I'm a guy that tears up a bit too. and there are at least, I'm thinking, three times where I kind of teared up. And then there were other times where I was chuckling a bit, you know. So there's a little of both in your movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good to hear. Yeah, that was, you know, I think, it's funny, we get hired in the commercial world to do chills and tears. That's what we kind of joke about, like what brands hire us to do. And so, you know, this story, I think it's just who we are as people. It's like add in a little bit of humor, but also, you know, I think we're kind of, David and I are a little bit of old souls ourselves. And we, you know, that's a lot of the spirit of the people that we grew up in. We're that way too. They're always kind of making little subtle smart comments that you think about for a second, and then you laugh after you went outside. You're like, that was kind of funny. And then you know, there's also just a lot of tenderness and deep soulful people.
Yeah. And every cast member, even Charlie Behrens as the radio host, I thought his one spot in there, it was perfect.
Yeah, he was great. We wish we could have had Charlie come in early on and help us write some of the script too, because, you know, obviously he nails the culture of it up here so well, and he's so funny. And there's actually, if you go back and watch the film a few times, some of his, because he's in this radio kind of background throughout the film, there's some really funny things that he's saying as the radio announcer in there. That's really, really subtle. And, you know, we actually filmed it all. We have like an 11-minute reel of Charlie riffing, and it's so funny. But it, You know, that's one of we kind of ends up on the cutting floor, and one of the hard cuts you have to make. So,
let's you know, here you are, first timers, and I know a film like this costs money. How do you finance? I mean, what is the process of getting money to produce something like this?
Yeah. Our financing went in waves and phases, you know, just like kind of the whole production process. So we had a, you know, we had like a, obviously an upfront pre-production production budget and then a post-production and then marketing. And so we've kind of had different investors and brands and stuff come along throughout that process. But yeah, our upfront investor that initially believed in the project, was actually like a friend of a commercial client of ours, and just really loved our work and really believed in what we were trying to do. And just offhand on set one day, you know, asked us what else we were doing and other projects we had going. And this was on our commercial production, and we gave him a pitch for Green and Gold, and it was an immediate, overwhelming yes. Like, I want to be a part of this. You know, how can I help support? So. But yeah, and then from there, it's, you know, you go around to different connections, you knock on every door, and it came in waves. So we certainly did not have all of that up front, but it's been an ongoing process over the last, you know, 5 years of the project. So.
Yeah. And Dave and I, there was, I think there was a story about a major film studio that wanted to buy your script, but you turned them down. What was, tell us about that decision.
Yeah, that's one of those decisions that you lose sleep over for a long time, because it, you know, it's as an independent film to have a studio look at your movie and say, "Hey guys, we want to make an offer on it." It's a no brainer, and we even called. We had a consultant who was, you know, another kind of acquisition leader at a different studio, and we told him the deal, and he goes, "Oh yeah, you guys should definitely take that. That's a great deal." Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the stipulations was you got to shoot somewhere else that has a tax incentive, which is, you know, just smart business, more lucrative for the movie. And for us, it was, you know, here we are. We got all the dairy farmers, you know, in Door County rallied for this. The community's already, you know, tuning into it. Craig T. Nelson's on a plane flying out. And it was kind of one of those, it's like a tricky decision because you're trying to be responsible to your investors, you know, and this would have cleared their cash out, doubled some of their funds, but you're also trying to be responsible to the people that have rallied around you already and are willing to make this and have already bought in. And, you know, it's like, what are we going to tell everybody? Sorry, false alarm, we're going to do it in Alabama. You know, it was a decision that we lost a lot of sleep over, but all of our investors ultimately were on board with it and you know, knew the vision of what we're trying to do here and giving people an opportunity and to shoot it in a place that we loved. And, you know, at that point, the movie was called God Loves the Green Bay Packers. So what are you going to do here? You know,
Oh, and David was, and you know, Wisconsin's practically, would you call it a character in the movie?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and we kind of attribute that also to kind of Green Bay Packer fans, and just the culture of Packer fans. But yeah, Wisconsin in general is so infused in, you know, from the landscape to the people, to the how things are phrased and how people talk to each other is totally in the script. So in our minds, you know, to that point about turning down the studio offer, we're like, man, this thing, it has a chance to feel really fake if we don't shoot it here too. And that was a fear of ours as well. So we felt like to do right by the project and by Wisconsin, you know, where we're telling the story, like it has to be here. It certainly has to be here to feel authentic and real and true. Which, you know, we hope it does come across on screen that way.
Oh, it does. And I was surprised, at the work with the animals, for example, Madison, I mean, she's going down a row with the horses pulling, or a horse, I can't remember now if it was one or two, pulling a plow. And I thought, I bet that's maybe the first time she ever went behind a plow and horses.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Madison got put through, she got through a crash course in farming, you know, but to her credit, she grew up in South Dakota and just a kind of around rural culture and community. So she was well versed in a lot of it, but you know, a lot of us have never been behind and, you know, cause the grandfather, the joke is that they call him horse and buggy, but he farms like it's the 1800s and it's just the philosophy he believes by. And so he, yeah, but when she, it was fun to have her kind of get a chance to do that. And we had some amazing, you know, kind of Percheron horses who came out and the folks who worked with us on that were amazing. They gave Craig, actually, he went out for the practice day too. And we had like a little, you know, 2-hour rehearsal just to make sure you didn't get dragged behind the horses, kind of safety meeting. So, yeah, but it was really special. But, you know, even some of when she's milking by hand in one of the scenes, and this cow was just like bumping her up against the fence, and she kept looking at me on the other side of the camera being like, are we done yet, how many more of these do we got to do? And but she was such a good sport about it all, and she had a blast, and we're just so excited for her just with this opportunity too, and what she gets to really showcase, I think, some of her best work. So
yeah, she was really good. And she's I was trying to run a percentage in my mind of what percentage of the scenes she was in. She was in 80%?
I bet. Yeah, maybe more, maybe 90%.
Yeah, I think it might be even closer to 90%. So, I mean, a lot fell on her shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it did. We agonized over it, like that decision. It felt a mentor of mine for a while was a guy named M. Night Shyamalan. He did, you know, bigger movies like Signs, The Sixth Sense. And he always said casting is, you know, 98% of your job as a director. And you just got to really search and search and search until you find that exact perfect person. And so we really agonized over her because, you know, we knew we had Craig. And we knew what he was going to add and bring to the project, but it, you know, this role, it's like we have this young woman who has to go head to head against one of Hollywood's legends. And we felt like we found, she had the right balance of kind of like this sweetness, Midwest sweetness and hospitality, but also that real gritty, strength that a lot of, you know, particularly young women who grew up on farms carry and have kind of this deep, you know, stoicism to them as well. So.
Yeah, she was outstanding. And there's a scene early in the film during which a calf is born. And, you know, on the farm, I grew up on a farm, and I pulled a calf or two in my life. Was that a real birth?
It was. You know, that was one of the things, kind of, and again, an authenticity piece. You know, you can visual effects that, but we just were so set on, you know, these calves. It's the idea when you're on the farm, life and death is so present, you know, you're constantly watching things being born and watching things die. And so we wanted that to be shown, you know, particularly in the opening part of the film, is kind of this real dramatic, as dramatic as we can, you know, make it, you know, this calf that's stuck sort of in the birthing process, and Jenny's kind of learning this, but you're learning a lot about this granddaughter and her grandfather while this calf's being born. But, you know, so from the beginning, we were like, we got to film a real calf birth. And so the whole production, we had this B unit camera team that would be on standby. So one of the farmers would call us and say, hey, there's a calf being born. And this B unit team, whatever else we were filming, would drop and jump in cars and run over to the farm and try to catch it. But, you know, it didn't happen for 18 days. We tried it of different, you know, or the calf would come out and it would be black. And the, you know, the one that we filmed at the end of the movie is, you know, just a classic Holstein white and black. And so, David and I went back over, it was over the Christmas holiday. And one of the farmers said, yeah, you can come and sit in the maternity ward here and we'll just wait. And so we sat, it was like National Geographic. David and I just sat there, you know, it was freezing cold. And I think it was about, you know, maybe 18 hours into us waiting, it was actually another farmer called us and said, hey, it's actually in the exact same stall you guys filmed at. the first, you know, when Craig and Madison were doing what we call them, like, kind of the inserts of this birthing scene. And so we went back and actually caught the actual calf being born, you know, in a separate way. So, but you cut them together, and I forget now, even, you know, I've stared at this film and I forget that they were two different days, but a really sweet scene.
It really was. There was another interesting take that I thought was kind of interesting. It sort of happened more or less a few times throughout the show, where Jenny Madison is, it's the first thing in the morning, and she's lining up her rifle and taking a shot at the outdoor light, a yard light of the neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that's
based on...
Who thought that up?
What was it? Say it again.
Who thought that up, Anders?
You know, because we came across... She's this young woman who's obsessed with music and kind of, you know, like amazing Americana classic music. And one of her inspirations is Joni Mitchell. And so the Joni Mitchell song, Sunny Sunday, I think Joni wrote it about her roommate who would do this, actually. And she had this little pistol, and she would go outside and shoot at the light on Sundays, and if she hits it, she would try to change the course of her life, or, you know, go quit her job and do something else. And so it was the perfect visual for this young woman she's basically emulating this Joni Mitchell song with her own life, which a lot of us is, you know, when we have heroes, try to like Michael Jordan or whatever it is, you know, throw yeah. like Aaron Rodgers. And this is her version of that, which is taking a crack at the streetlight from her barn. So
Matt in Prairie du Chien emailed to share what the Green Bay Packers have meant to their family. Matt was a young child during Super Bowl 31. Matt, their dad and siblings were able to go to Lambeau Field to watch the Packers bring home the Vince Lombardi trophy. This was an unforgettable memory, a great moment in Packer history. As Matt grew older, their appreciation for the Packers continued to grow, and they most appreciate that the Packers are not owned by any one particular person. They've always been a cherished part of Matt's family, uniting them and inspiring them over the years. Go Pack, go. That's kind of it, isn't it, David?
Yeah. Yeah, it totally is. And, you know, we talk about our film being like the Green Bay Packers, where we feel like we're community owned at this point, too, with just the amount of, you know, local support and folks that have chipped in and Wisconsin organizations, right, from Culver's to the Packers that have come alongside us and supported us. We feel like this thing is, just a very similar representation to the Packers organization, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a great group. And maybe we should talk a little about the Packers angle in the film. Was it difficult to get the rights of the NFL footage used in the movie and to get the Packers support?
Yeah, you know, so those were two separate entities to get approval from, but we got the NFL first, which was surprisingly easy. We presented it to NFL Films. We showed them the film, told them what we were trying to do, and they honestly just loved it. I think, you know, for them, it's like we're showcasing the NFL in such a beautiful light, and it's historic, you know, amazing footage that they were excited to actually pull for us and go back through their archives and curate a nice collection from. So that was really smooth and really awesome. The Packers were a notch of a slower burn, and rightfully so, because they're such a legacy brand. So, you know, we knocked on doors with the Packers for probably 2.5 years to find the right person to get it in front of. All it took was the right person, to be honest. We kind of hoped, from the get-go that this thing would be, the right fit for them. And it really was. I think they're very protective of the G, as they should be. You know, it's such an iconic, brand, an organization. So they're very particular about what they do and do not support. So, that we're super proud to be partners with them now.
Yeah, Jeff Robbins, our technical director, is wondering if Wayne Larrivee recorded new commentary for the footage, or did you use Wayne Larrivee, who obviously the announcer, was it new footage or did a commentary, or was it just part of what he was saying at the time?
Yeah, we re-recorded it. So Wayne actually wasn't the announcer back in those days for the time period we were covering. Yeah, so I know. That. Yeah, we were surprised by that too. But we love, obviously Wayne's voice is so awesome, and he's been a big supporter of the project too. So we re-recorded all those with him, with kind of some specific lines here and there that we needed to kind of move a scene or whatever with. So.
And Jeff said he noted that you used NFC North instead of NFC Central, so he had to figure it was new.
That's funny. Good catch, Jeff.
good catch indeed. Well, there were many scenes during the film that struck me. One, and I'll say that. When I came on, we left the farm when I was a young teenager, but I went back to work for the guy who took the farm over. And at one point, he committed suicide. And boy, that was brought back to me and David, maybe you can talk about it. There's a scene in the film where we see a farmer very despondent at losing his farm. I'm wondering, was the scene based on any particular story you heard, David?
Yeah, so it was, I'm sorry to hear that. And I think, you know, it's one of those realities that was also some of the inspiration for the film too. It always struck us that, you know, farmers and ranchers are some of the among the highest suicide rates of any profession, which is so surprising, you know, based on that when you meet farmers and ranchers, you don't think about that necessarily. And then, you know, you all of a sudden start to pay attention to it. And there's all these organizations that are out there as, you know, prevention and awareness because of the difficulty of the work. I think the changing industry and, you know, for a lot of reasons, you know, it's like generational work and stewardship that, you know, when the, you know, milk prices change, they can't make a go of it anymore. You know, all these kinds of things that they're trying to, I think, deal with on an deep emotional level. So, yeah, that was, you know, we didn't have a particularly like a close personal relationship that has experienced that, but we've known about it and thought that was such an important part of kind of showing again, like the beauty of farming. And then also some of the harsh realities that exist around that community and what they're struggling with. So
that was a really touching scene. Madison pulled that scene off really, really well for sure. I thought at the time I wished things could have turned out that way for my friend who committed suicide. By the way, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a line that I hope people will think about using when they get themselves into that kind of situation, 988. Well, we're talking with Anders and David Lindwall. They're the filmmakers behind the new movie, Green and Gold. And you can join in. I'll give you a chance to call. The number's 800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. Maybe you've got a question about filmmaking or comment about agriculture and farming here. Love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking with Anders and David Lindwell about their film, which you'll soon get a chance to see it. It's titled Green and Gold, and it's set on a farm in Door County and involves the Packers and involves some bats, a big bat, and a whole lot more. I hope you'll join in with your own thoughts, questions. The number, 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. And there's a scene, Anders, where Buck drives his tractor into town. What about the logistics in shooting that scene? And where was it? I imagine you had to close down a few streets.
Yeah, you know, that's such a, you know, in terms of what David was saying earlier about how the community-owned film, that's downtown Sturgeon Bay. And, you know, we wanted kind of this dramatic scene where this old farmer is ripping his tractor right down, and he's going right down to the banker to talk to him about his situation that's going on. And yeah, but, you know, that's, as an independent film, it's like you don't have a lot of cash to just shut down whatever street you want. You know, you kind of are at the mercy of asking for the graciousness of businesses to say, hey, we're okay, you know, because you're closing off their business for a couple hours, and you're at the mercy of the police, you know, coming out and helping you out, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it was pretty special to be able just to, you know, witness again the hospitality of a place like Door County to do that kind of thing for us. So,
yeah, I've spent a lot of time in Door County, and there's a lot of really good people there. David, music plays a large role in the film, I think, anyway. Tell us a little about that specifically, who created the music and performed by the Jenny character.
Yeah, so this is Anders. I'll speak to it a little bit. I'm more in the weeds on the music, but yeah, we always wanted original music to be a part of this story, and especially with Jenny, who's this aspiring musician. And but we wanted Wisconsin, again, kind of like Wisconsin roots to be a part of it. And so there's one of our friends, her name is Courtney Hartman. She's a Grammy nominated musician, and she had just moved to Eau Claire, actually. And a part of that Eau Claire community is another guy named Sean Carey. S. Carey is his music name. And he's a part of a band called Bon Iver. That's really renowned in that part of the country. And do you know, you're familiar? It sounds like.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So we wanted, you know, we asked Court Sean to give it a go to write sort of, you know, that end big anthem, and because you know a lot of the film comes down to this ending climactic moment, and yeah, they graciously obliged, and then. So Natalie Nichols, who you mentioned at the beginning of the show here, she was the voice who sings for Jenny, and she's actually the wife of our composer. And so our composer, Corey Martin, you know, he's done some amazing, he's done mostly like trailers is how he just has paid his bills. This is kind of his first opportunity to be able to do something on this scale. But he scored for like Star Wars trailers and things like that. So very, very proficient in his skill sets. And but Sean Carey and Courtney wrote that end song, and then Natalie and Corey, you know, kind of helped perform and execute it. And then Natalie and Corey actually wrote some of the other songs. But there's, you know, there's music featured from, you know, various other independent artists too in the film. And one of the other kind of cool pieces to it is Jackson Browne. There's a few classic Jackson Browne songs that are in the movie. And he had just found, he had found our project through kind of Door County connections. He spent some time up in Door County, and we got the film in front of him, and he just said, "You guys made a great movie. Whatever you need for my music, let me know, and I'll graciously give it to you." And he basically just gave us his songs to put in the film. So.
Oh man.
Yeah, special guy, a real special guy.
That is wonderful. You know, there are quite a few scenes, Anders, where we see Buck and his family in church. And why was it important for you to highlight that aspect of their lives?
Yeah, you know, I think for us, like, grew up going to church every Sunday, and that was just really ingrained into the fabric of our family spiritual life. And and Christianity, and
you know,
we didn't want to make necessarily like a Christian movie, but we also wanted to showcase and
give kind of like an homage to this is a regular thing
and a real important part of people's lives, and to kind of integrate it culturally in an appropriate and dignifying way.
But part of that is also
Like not only do we dignify I think the rich spiritual kind of heritage that's going on, but also I remember as a young kid always being like tugging on my parents to get out of church so we could go home and catch the Packer game.
And so seeing
like the characters run out of church is something really, something really that we wanted to show.
Yeah. And Anders, there's an interesting speech that Buck gives his granddaughter about the dangers of ambition. How does that relate? Well, maybe how does that relate to your personal beliefs?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think it's a tricky thing because, you know, there is something that's always like so important. Like you need to be a productive and a person who has like dreams and ambitions, but I think for me, I noticed at some times in my life, like those dreams or ambitions can sometimes become too much of a thing or too much of a distraction. And I lose sight of what the immediate thing is in front of me. You know, I'm like looking for this far off thing to come true or this far off, like hope and desire. And I think, you know, that's a little bit to what Buck is speaking to is, you know, he's not necessarily upset at Jenny because she wants to play music or not play music. What he's speaking to is the matter of the heart, you know, this idea of man looks at outward appearance, but there's these deeper things that are going on inside of us that are really the critical truth of the matter. And Buck is flagging that in her is like, what do you really want out of this music career? What kind of affirmation are you looking for? What kind of something that to satisfy you that isn't going to satisfy you, you know? And I think that's really what he's speaking to. So again, it's not so much like he doesn't want her to do her dream. It's like, what's the heart behind the dream? And what do you really want out of that is what he's getting at.
Yeah. And I believe the film's been, I know the film's been entered. This is a sort of a rollout for the movie Green and Gold. You entered the film in some film festivals, and I was happy to see it won some awards. Can you tell us about the response you've received at those festivals?
Yeah, we were super overwhelmed by how well it was received, to be honest. I think when you live with something that you're so close to for so long, you become so numb to it, right? Where, you know, we've seen it 1,000 times. You start to be overly critical of every scene and word and whatnot. So it's a super vulnerable thing to finally bring that to an outside audience and be like, here you go. What do you think? But the responses were overwhelmingly positive. So we premiered first at Heartland International Film Festival in Indianapolis. And we ended up winning 2 awards there. One was the Audience Choice and then the Jimmy Stewart Legacy Award, which is kind of one of their favorite awards to give out. So that was amazing. And then we played the next weekend actually at Austin, in Austin, Texas. And we ended up winning Audience Choice there too, which, you know, was honestly a lot more of a shock, I think, for us than Heartland, because, you know, we weren't sure it was going to resonate as well with Texans or folks from that in that part of the world. But to hear it did was really powerful for us. So, and those are the only two we could really play at. You know, from there we were catching the festival run pretty late in the game in terms of getting our distribution in place. So we kind of put it to wraps after that and got ready to go to theaters here. So
yeah, and it goes to theaters pretty darn soon.
Yeah, next Friday. So January 31st is our opening weekend, which is really crucial for independent filmmakers, that opening weekend. So
yeah, and it's opening across Wisconsin, or where is it opening?
Yeah, we're actually across the nation, so we're in almost 1,000 theaters. So yeah, and we're obviously peppered pretty hard in the upper Midwest and Wisconsin in particular. You know, Marcus is one of our distribution theaters, so they are they're hosting the film at all of their locations, I believe, which I'm sure most folks in Wisconsin are familiar with Marcus. But yeah, we're across the nation, we're on the coast and everything in between. So, yeah, hopefully people can find a theater, you know, that's within at least a 20-minute drive of them would be awesome.
Yeah, I think I'd like to, I watched it on my computer. I think I'd like to go see it, on the big screen. I think that'll be a lot of fun. There was an event earlier this month at Lambeau Field to celebrate the movie.
Yeah. We hosted we're calling it like a thank you farmers red carpet. So it was really a culmination and a celebration of really all the partners and people that it took to make the thing. So we did it that weekend because it was, the Packers and Bears at home at Lambeau Field, that same weekend. So Craig T. Nelson was singing the national anthem, and we already had a lot of kind of people in town and whatnot. But yeah, we brought, you know, we had a lot of our, almost all of our local farmers, were able to come by. We had, you know, the Culver's organization, Craig Culver, Mark Murphy, and a lot of the Packers organization was there, and, you know, different cast and a lot of our crew. And yeah, it was just a celebration of all the effort. And, yeah, it was really, an out-of-body experience for us just as the filmmakers of like, wow, did we make all this happen? You know, like, how did this all happen? And, yeah, it was like a wedding, you know, we were trying to say hi to everybody and only got to probably 20% of the folks, unfortunately, but, a super fun event. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't met Craig Culver, but I have had some, work and did some things with Mark Murphy, and he's a really great guy. And so it was really cool having Craig Nelson sing the national anthem at the Packers Bears game on January 5th. That's for sure. Well, what's next? You holding your breath or?
Yeah, I would say we're holding our breath. You know, a lot of this depends on how it goes, you know, like, it's such a high risk industry, and, you know, similar to kind of certain athletes who get a chance to go, they get in the big game and how do they do, you know, do they go out there and make a shot? Do they make a splash, or do they get injured and their career is over? Or do they kind of keep going and get a chance to make a, you know, big run at it? So that's where we're at, is this is kind of like our first shot of being able to play some pro ball, and you know, depends on how it performs and does well or not well. But we'd love to keep going with it. You know, we have such a heart to shoot. One of the other stories we want to shoot is kind of an 1800s lumberjack story up here in the Northwoods. And that would probably be, you know, maybe our dream to go next on that. So, So we'll see what happens here. As now we're kind of holding our breath and hoping that the opening weekend of January goes as it needs to. So.
Yeah. Well, the Packers are a national favorite, and that's not going to hurt anything for sure. Anders and David, thank you both so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed your film, and I hope a lot of people see it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah, thanks Larry. For having us on.
Anders and David Lindwall are the filmmakers behind the movie Green and Gold. It's coming up, and you're going to be able to see it very, very soon, and I hope you have a chance to do that. And I want to take a chance to thank our crew here. I'll tell you what, Jeff Robbins is our director, our technical director today. And he's done a great job with the scripts today and with the technical direction. It's great to have him with us. And thank you for listening. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.